let's go through what I'd like to do, and of course this group of people can become unruly and in a hurry, and I'll point out again that everybody is on Q&A mode, which means you're currently muted. In order to join in live and participate on the call, which I welcome you to do, is all you have to do is hit *6, and then you're live on the call. And what I start with is asking everybody who was at the boot camp and actively participated, if you could *6 yourself now, and we'll go through. I'm not going to have a comprehensive list of names. We have Robert and Lauren Davidson and Master Minton, Jay Dallow, Peter Johnson, Trey Drake, Edgar Zimmerman, Chester Rowe, Marty Callahan, Tahi Burns, Greg Delano, Rob Atlick, Kai Nguyen, Alan Carroll, Amanda. I've left out quite a few, but if whoever was live on the call, hit unmute. I see a whole bunch of you just did. So let's start one at a time and identify yourself if you were on the call. So I'm going to try to do it in the most expeditious way as possible. So unmuted from 214 area code. Who is that? So if you're calling from 214 and you're a participant, unmuted, identify yourself.
This is Jacob Goodwin with the United Karate Academy.
Okay. Very well, Jacob, welcome to the call. And then, again, anybody who was at the conference, hit *6, and that'll show me that you're in queue here, and we will identify yourself. So if you were at the marketing boot camp, again, just hit *6 to unmute yourself. If you hit *6 again, it mutes you, and we'll work on figuring out who we have. And so while you're doing that, let me hit Master Moody and Master Smith a couple things here. One is our next event for Inner Circle and Peak Performers, and then all of a sudden we end up with tons of background noise. Impossible to control other than having anybody muted. Our next event for Inner Circle and Peak Performers is going to be at the United States Military Academy at West Point, which is West Point, New York. It's just about 90 minutes north of Manhattan, up the Hudson Valley. It's right on the Hudson River. West Point is known for West Point and the Hudson River, actually. But that's going to be October 17th, 18th, and 19th. We're going to have the Inner Circle are going to be meeting on the 17th and 18th, and Peak Performers overlapping on the 18th and 19th. On the 18th is when we're going to be doing a real behind-the-scenes at West Point. Some of us had an opportunity to do that at Air Force Academy this time, but the next event is really focused on high-level leadership development as well as a great deal of other material. So we are going to be hitting that 17th, 18th, and 19th. Again, Inner Circle on the 17th and 18th, Peak Performers on the 18th and 19th. You can fly into any of the New York City airports. Newark is closer than LaGuardia or Kennedy. Or you can fly directly into Stewart Airport, which is the closest airport to West Point. Of course, we have quite a few people who are members and on the call who are in that metro area, Philadelphia or New York and so forth. So therefore, it's a pretty easy drive up the Hudson. The hotel we're going to be using is right on West Point campus. I'll be sending you guys all of that information once again pretty quickly. But it's the, actually you have to go through the security checkpoints, and the hotel sits on the Hudson, overlooking the Hudson, on West Point campus. So, and it is one of those areas you certainly don't want to stay in New York and commute back and forth. You want to make sure you're booked at our hotel. So, again, so everybody who's unmuted, whoever's calling from 818, go ahead and identify yourself. And how about next, 714? So who's from 818 or 714? Unmuted. Here we go with the problem with live events. Hello. Who's calling from 609? Well, let's try this. Everybody who was at the event, go ahead and introduce yourself. Hi, this is Ram Devenia. I was there.
Okay, very good. That maybe that's going to work best. So Ram, you and I just finished having a conversation a minute ago. Ram, let me get your feedback. This was the first of our marketing boot camps you've attended. You're a new Peak Performer member. What were some of your takeaways? So first of all, what did you think about the boot camp? Was it extremely valuable or not? Did it open your eyes a little bit? And what are some of the takeaways from the event?
It was very eye-opening, and it was it was one of the best things I've ever done in terms of just being a business owner or being in the martial arts industry. Very, very valuable. The thing was great. I mean, biggest takeaways were the first day was great. When we covered a whole lot of the basic stuff that I really enjoyed, the group activity and presentation. That was probably my favorite portion.
Right, right. And what you're talking about is on the second day, just for everybody's clarification, we broke everybody up into groups, and we worked on doing August, September, October, November, December marketing plans for the fall, and really focused on 100 new students for back to school or better. And one of the things, and a whole bunch of you have sent these to me already, for those of you who haven't, I'll remind you, is we're aggregating all the notes that everybody took from the boot camp and also the marketing plans, both that were put together at the event and for those that were developed more thoroughly in the few days that have followed. Everybody's had 5 or 6 days since boot camp to organize. And then, again, for everybody who is not opposed to sharing any of those things, we're aggregating them and then sharing them with all the Inner Circle Peak Performer members. So you're going to have a stack of marketing plans and a stack of notes from the boot camp to help organize and aggregate it. So, Ram, what are two or three big takeaways that you got from the boot camp from the standpoint of really radically and dramatically growing your school?
Two or three. Well, the big one, of course, was the presentations in the group. The next one was just I really loved the way that you all broke down the drip system and gave recommendations of how to keep that going. That was really, really cool. And I really liked that you all elaborated on strategies for each point that we kind of talked about in terms of going out to the schools, or we talked about, doing public events. Any question that we had, you guys answered it straight away, and it was really, really valuable.
Yeah. And of course, we spent a lot of time on just the marketing Parthenon, how to generate free publicity in the area, how to do effective community outreach with schools and daycares and some organizations, how to do community outreach with various organizations and companies that have more of an adult clientele, how to do paid media, everything from TV to radio to newspaper inserts and so forth. We spent a lot of time on direct mail and direct response marketing, and the list goes on, but I think we really hit all those topics pretty thoroughly. Is that a fair assessment?
Oof, more than thoroughly.
good. Well, great. Ram, if somebody was asking you overall what your biggest assessment was or your biggest surprise was from attending or frankly from your new participation in Peak Performers, what would you tell them?
Just the level of professionalism and expertise. I mean, it's really top-notch. I don't think you could find it anywhere else in terms of this industry. That's really something that really threw me aback. It's a very strong level of expertise and a very high level of professionalism, which is always good to see.
Yeah. Well, and certainly on these topics, I think we had a whole bunch, and anybody who's on the call, feel free to contribute to this, is whole bunch of assessments that we're 5-10 years at least ahead of anybody else in the industry from the standpoint of how to fill your school and how to maximize your revenue stream and how to not only improve your service but to make sure your overall results and that profit are fantastic.
Right.
Fantastic. Any other points to add? I'll keep you live to interact here, but. Any other points to add, Ram, from, let's say, from somebody who wasn't there on a couple of key components that they missed and ways that they can think about really filling their school for the fall? Well, let's see. I really, those are all the points I can think of that I also very much enjoy, that I was surrounded by people who had already done either grand openings or have been around for a long time as well. Just the idea of talking to somebody in the room who's doing what I want to be doing is really helpful. Somebody who's not hosting the event, but just coming to do the event itself, you know.
Well, absolutely, and certainly, you know, the great advantage that we have is we're attracting the top 5% and the top 1% of the industry. So you sit in a room at just about any level, and you're surrounded with a bunch of school owners that not only have been there and done that, but are doing it currently at a very, very high level. And again, the key component is the old, you know, Ray Kroc quote, well, you're either green or growing or rotting, rotting. The school owners who are doing good numbers but have concluded they've learned everything there is to learn are the ones that are slowly, if not quickly, rotting or dying. It's the school owners that, at even if they're already performing at an extremely high level, know that there's so much more to learn and know that there's so much more opportunity, that continue on that growth path and do a great job of continuing to grow their school and continuing to grow their student body.
Right. I would add, Master Oliver, one thing about that is it's not just that people are getting information and education, it's that the interactions with the group, I think. I think everybody and, you know, people that are going to talk about what their experience was, having the time to be with other top school owners and hear what they're doing and see what they're doing, I think is so valuable, and we need to take the time to do that. So participating live in the event is a big benefit in that way. So it's not just go and get information or go and read a book or go and see what's new. It's to interact with everybody else, and then we get even more value out of that with a mastermind.
Oh, I think that's exactly right. And what I concluded, and it's something I already knew, but when YK Kim and I did that seminar tour around the country, and probably before that, even when I did the tour around North America, I concluded that there's lots of people who have been getting good advice, books and CDs and DVDs and stuff, you know, a box in the mail or whatever, that even though they've been getting all the material for 5, 10, even 15 years, really hadn't implemented very effectively. And my conclusion was frankly, I think we all know, I have some friends who do the Learn Self-Defense with a DVD month in the mail thing, but we all know directly and intuitively, at least, that nobody ever gets a DVD month in the mail and ever becomes a black belt equivalent in anything, right? It's about having a concerned and capable and competent teacher who's looking over your shoulder and tuning and tweaking everything you're doing. And then it's about having a peer group, a classroom environment, where some people are doing better and perhaps some people aren't doing as well. And it gives you the ability to support some and to emulate others. And without that classroom environment, without the strong and concerned teacher, information is rarely implemented effectively. And you really need that ability to clarify, to tune, to get to the subtleties. You can have 95% of an idea, but it's that extra 5% of clarity that helps you really focus and implement on a high level. If you don't have that, you really rarely end up with a solid implementation. The last thing I'll say is that at the highest levels is, you know, so many times we decide, you know, we're doing $1 million a year, we're doing $2 million a year, we're doing $5 million a year, whatever. Is it's easy to get into that mode of, you know, you've arrived. And anytime you sit down with a bunch of other comparable school owners, what you find is they're all doing different things than you're doing, and many times they're doing a lot of things a lot better than you're doing. And you find that at no matter what level you're at, if you don't keep growing, if you don't keep supporting your reputation in the community, if you don't keep enhancing the service to your students, we've had several million plus schools, but who have, for instance, retention issues that they can dramatically improve. So they've They've got a lot of people coming in the front door, but they're going out the back door just as quick. We've had others that have, you know, even 850 or 900 students in one location, but their net profit isn't where it should be for a variety of reasons. So without having somebody look over your shoulder and to also a bunch of other people who are doing as well or better than you are to their ideas with, there's lots of room for growth that's left on the table. But, Graham, hey, thank you so much for your contributions there. Somebody else who was actually at the boot camp, chime in here so we can really get a good recap.
Hey, guys, this is Karis Brody from Martial Arts in Joliet. Can you guys hear me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, and thank you for the great testimonial and feedback and for sharing your notes. You and Ram. Although Ram, I don't have a testimonial from you. I just have your notes, so we'll make sure we share that with everybody. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I really enjoyed this event, and I think, like I said in the email, this was my first time attending a NATMA event, so I really loved it. I loved rubbing shoulders with other school owners and other program directors and just learning from you guys. And I think the thing that, well, so many things stuck out to me, but one of the things was the importance of tracking. And I guess I came to the conference not knowing how to properly track, and I was really hoping to learn that, and obviously we did that so well. So,
yeah.
But one thing that I noticed just talking with the others is, you know, when we talk about creating ads or different tools in marketing, I was really impressed at how people were so confident in, you know, whatever they invest in, they know they're going to get a return out of. And I guess that's kind of what has been lacking in me. I don't know. And the reason I don't know is because I've never tracked. So
you bet.
It just kind of came full circle, and I just really learned a lot from that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's so important. And we spend a lot of time talking about how to track online advertising, but also how to track offline advertising. And of course, nowadays, a lot of it goes from offline, either community outreach or paid media or, you know, any number of other pillars in that Parthenon, moves them online, and then we move them back offline. And when you're doing pure online, it's relatively simple to track, although most people don't really have all those pieces in place for themselves. But it's so important to know what source the lead came from, what the conversion rate was. And again, we've seen a lot of schools that, you know, they think their problem is marketing and their problem is sales. So, or their problem is retention. And if you're not keeping track of all of those pieces, you really don't know where your opportunities are. What were some other key takeaways? And again, I very much appreciate you sharing notes and your preliminary marketing plan there in Illinois. What were some other key takeaways that you got from the different pillars of the marketing or ways to really get back to school going strong?
Well, I know that we kind of take each event as it comes and hope that, you know, it plays out strong, but I learned that we need to have a lot of different things going, you know, make use of all the pillars or several at a time. So yesterday, Matthew Harrison and I just kind of sat and talked about that and what can we do now to really just do our best at what we have going, make sure we're not just basing our numbers on one event at a time. You know what I mean? And I know I need to just really work on follow-up. I knew that was important, but I think he really drills it into our head how important and how much more effort than we realize, you know, with follow-up phone calls, texting, emails. I mean, I already started that yesterday with just following up all different avenues. So that was a good thing. And I even just liked how you broke down advertisements, how to keep it subject-specific, how to put the headline on the top and what it should include and what it shouldn't include, you know, things like that. It's kind of common sense, but it was really refreshing to hear it laid out like that. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, and then we talked a lot about the, you know, it's not my line. I think it was John Kennedy, not the former president, but a great marketing copywriter who said,
You've got to get inside the conversation going on already in their mind and show them a way that you're going to solve a problem that they believe they already have. And so many times what we're doing with martial arts advertising is we're putting the name of our school as the headline, and we're, you know, most people at least smart enough to throw in an offer, but we're not really getting into the conversation they're going on in their mind or working to solve a problem for them. And there's a very small percentage of everybody we come in contact with who are just generically looking for a martial arts school right now. But there's an awful lot of them that have something they're trying to solve. They're trying to lose another 10 pounds. They're trying to be in shape. They want to be, you know, more suave, more cool. They want to, whether their child is ADD or ADHD, they're looking for solutions. Their child is struggling in school, or maybe they just want to get them to clean their room. You know, whether the adult market and the kids market are really very similar motivation. They just need to have to be talked to in different ways to get there. What was go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I just wanted to finish up by saying, you know, in my email I mentioned that this was the best investment that I've made this year, and I really believe that, because if I hadn't attended, I wouldn't have learned all these things, and it would have just kind of been business as usual, but I'm really excited to bring these ideas back to our school. So thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, and of course you're in a school that's been, you know, been established for many years. And it's a little bit of a regrowth track there, but you've got great momentum, and with Tim Harrison there, he's really got a lot of pieces in place to get things going for you guys as well. Fantastic. Hey, so who else was actually at the event? And again, thanks so much for everybody's comments specifically, thanks for the notes and the marketing plans and the feedback and or testimonials, and we're going to share that with everybody who's a member for sure, to make sure that we have a good back to school plan. Master Smith, we haven't spoken to you yet on the call. What were some of the takeaways you had from what you felt the participants benefited? And of course, you've been in the industry for what's coming on 50 years or something like that. What were some of the takeaways that you had from a standpoint of what you thought the participants benefited most from, or what the value for being there was?
Well, I think the most important thing was people got a chance to see that they really need a marketing plan. And they have to do that projection at least on a quarterly basis. And I think the little practice session you did, where you made everybody form groups, you know, I think 5 or 6 different groups, and actually
yeah.
come up with their marketing plan together, and then present that to everybody else, I think that should have given everybody a chance to see that there is a lot of things that they can do, and a lot of things that people go through and really look at those lists, realize how little they've been doing compared with what they said the projection should be.
You bet.
So I think that was for me the best thing that I think opened everybody's eyes.
Well, absolutely, and that goes back to the heart of why being in a pretty consistent mastermind environment, both in teleconference webinar format, but more importantly, is getting together live with other very smart and very sharp and very dedicated school owners is so important, because it really gives that opportunity to continue to expand your horizons. But, you know, also, a lot of people will hear, you know, myself or Master Moody or you, Master Smith, and they'll hear the ideas, but they won't really anchor in that school owners who are doing an awful lot better than them are implementing that at the frontline basis, as we all have. You know, it's easy for them to discount it as being either theoretical, not practical, which, of course, you know, nothing that comes out of any of our mouths is anything but things that we have actually done out in the field and that we're helping other people do in the field successfully. You know, hence the experience of, you know, all three of our cases being multi-school owners for,
you know, in your case, since the running the Junior Institute into the 70s, in my case, running my schools, and, you know, from the beginning of the 80s, but working with you in the 70s and early 80s as well. So it's you know, practical where the rubber meets the road implementation. Somebody else who was there at the event chime in, and we've got a bunch of you on the call here, and of course we've got a pretty big call with quite a few people who weren't there either, but whoever else was there, chime in and let's talk about takeaways and feedback.
Robert,
this is
Trey Drake in Houston.
Oh, fantastic, Trey. And you're one of our newbies. So
I am.
I am. And somebody else was talking over you, so whoever that was, queue up for next after Trey. And Trey, you guys are in a very big Krav Maga school. You've got two locations there in about the Houston area.
Yeah.
And interestingly, there at the event, we had three big all adults oriented schools from the Houston metro area. All of you in good position to work together. None of you in competition with each other. Obviously, a huge metropolitan area. But give us some of your feedback as a complete newbie. What was it different or better or than you expected? And what were some of your preconceptions? And how did it vary from that?
Well, honestly, I didn't have. I went in with an open mind the best I could, but I can tell you that it was such a wealth of knowledge that I felt like I really needed about three more days with you in front of the room in order to get all the information that I wanted to take in. Really, what struck me the most, I would say, was the diving board versus on method of marketing, because there was a ton of things that we quite frankly haven't focused on, and just kind of to second what someone else already said, I think a lot of it had to do with just an uncertainty as to whether it would work. And a lot of times the uncertainty just kind of makes you freeze and not move forward. And hearing a lot of the marketing strategies that maybe we had considered before but weren't sure, but then hearing from other people that had good success with those and how they had success, how they approached it, that made it effective.
Yeah, absolutely. And to anchor in, I mean, you've got, correct me if I butcher the numbers, but you've got two Krav schools right now, predominantly adult-focused, working on dramatically expanding into the kids market. And if I remember the numbers correctly, you have one location with 1,600 students and another one with, what, 600 to 800 students. Is that about right?
That's right. Yeah, the second one has 600 students, yeah.
600. So one with 1,600, one with 600, and getting ready for a third location.
That's right, yeah.
Fantastic. So, you know, what happens with most of these events, frankly, is they tend to be targeted towards the small schools. And
right.
I think what a very conscious effort that I have made with what we're doing is to be targeted at the very successful schools and the school owners who are very serious about being one of those, right? So, you know, it's certainly, you know, I mean, ask your feedback. As a very successful school, did you ever feel like you were being held back by the smaller guys who weren't up to speed as much as you were?
Not at all. In fact, being fairly, although we have big schools, you know, I'm personally fairly new to the business, so I was just trying to make sure I wasn't that person. But no, I felt like everyone contributed in a mass way and provided a lot of really good information. Everybody was super nice, and there were a lot of side conversations just in between during breaks and things like that. Everyone was very very generous in the information that they were providing in terms of what they found to be successful for them.
Absolutely. What were some key takeaways for you, actual implementation items that are on your list to get rolling here?
Really just expanding the marketing strategy overall, focusing a lot more on everything you can imagine, everything from direct mail marketing all the way to community outreach, the different types of community outreach that you can do, and just making sure that we had as many pillars as possible that we were focusing on having 20 different areas that you're working on, but making sure you're tracking and making sure you're efficient in those 20 areas that you're doing.
Would you say you came away with a pretty good comfort level on how to use, for instance, direct mail marketing? I know an awful lot of schools, the vast majority of schools that I talked to initially, you know, either assume that it's not going to work, or they're so confused they don't know where to start. How would you say your takeaway was with that? Did you start to feel pretty comfortable in where to start and where to prioritize?
Yeah, and I can tell you that, you know, we really haven't focused much at all on that type of marketing. And I think it was a combination of factors. We oftentimes relied, if we did use it, we relied on the so-called experts to tell us what we should put in it. And that doesn't seem to work very well.
If you rely on it as a strategy. Yeah, I was going to interrupt to say, if you rely on the so-called experts with that kind of stuff, they're almost always not really experts, and they almost always don't work. So, you know, it's not the case. The guys who are direct mail marketers are usually, and it's good for everybody on the call to hear this, you know, whether it's selling Valpak or AdRef, those guys are they're ad salespeople. They're not marketing professionals that understand our business. So that's a really good point and a good takeaway for everybody.
Well, and I would go further than that. I mean, you know, me and a few of my friends have spent a lot of time with Jay Abraham and Dan Kennedy, and I can go on through the list, John Carlson, you know, all those real direct response gurus, and they're very sharp people. But you never end up in one of those events with a what do I specifically do for an adult cross school, what do I do for an adult MMA school, what do I do for a women-focused fitness kickboxing program, what do I do with the kids program? And with our expertise, I mean, if where the expertise lies is within under our roof for how to do that within each of those niches. And I'm sure we have quite a few of the participants who have been in those other camps. And again, I always recommend, you know, be familiar with, you know, Tom Hopkins and Zig Ziglar through Jay Abraham and Dan Kennedy. But, you know, Tim Kovar and I and Keith Hafner and I and a variety of others spent probably hundreds of thousands of dollars in all of those camps, and still required millions of dollars in actual experimentation and creativity to get it into something that would work for the martial arts schools, which is what we're, of course, sharing directly in these events. Trey, is that a fair statement to make?
I would say so, yeah. My impression at this point, for sure.
Yeah. So if you, let me get your feedback, again, as a relatively newbie. What was your impression of all the other people in the room? I mean, were there some people who brought a lot of contribution to you, and even the other guys in about Houston, that it was open sharing, nobody felt threatened. Is that a fair statement?
Oh yeah, no, I didn't feel any of that at all. I felt like I didn't get a chance to speak with everyone, but the ones that I did speak with, and including Hi from Houston, everyone was very forthcoming and with information and trying to help each other, and I didn't feel any competition whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and really, for all of us, our competition is with ourselves. It's not with other martial arts schools. And, you know, I don't care whether you're in the kids market or the adult market, the participation in martial arts is so much smaller than participation in anything from dance classes to swimming lessons to soccer, that we have so much room to grow our market. And the more we weed out the unprofessional people in our industry, the more we grow the ones that are truly sincere, dedicated, focused, providing great student service. But the more we give them tools to then grow dramatically, the better off we all are. Hey Trey, any couple things to add to the conversation? Again, I appreciate everything you've shared already and sent me as well.
I don't think I have anything else. No, it was a grand pleasure. It was a great setting, great location, and like I said, you know, I really needed I needed three more days with all the questions. I came out of there feeling like I was both enlightened and then a little bit more ignorant, just in the sense that I felt like I realized how much more there was that I needed to learn, and I needed more time to ask the questions, get all that done, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. So, well, we have permanently into the future now working together on an individual basis to get there and in a small group basis. And you know, anytime you leave an event feeling like you didn't learn anything, or feeling like there was nothing particularly enlightening, is you've got to make a decision for yourself on whether you feel like you've arrived and now you're in the rise and rotting stage, or whether you're just in the wrong room, right? And it can be either one. I continue to preach and warn against, you know, ever getting to the point that you feel like you've arrived. And what we do know is that most martial arts schools are not particularly sophisticated, and most of them are not particularly even focused on their own growth. But we do have a team that is. So make sure you're always at that point of looking for more information and green and growing. Doesn't matter where you're at. Good. We had somebody else there. Trey, you and somebody else was talking at the same time too. Who was that?
Robert Davidson, Sungri Black Belt Academy.
Hey, Robert. You and your dad Long were there. So what were some of your takeaways, and give us some feedback on how that event was.
Some of the biggest takeaways that I got was Harris was saying tracking, and not just tracking the numbers, but also not asking our students or our enrollments after the fact, how did you hear about us, but actually knowing how to get to the true value of it, so not just taking the
right. When we add on to that, a lot of people were talking about, you know, particularly the internet, where when you're tracking your leads and finding out how your marketing is working, which has been talked about a couple times, a lot of times people say, yeah, I heard about you on the internet, and we need to dig into that and find out where they really heard about us, plus be able to track it with analytics separately from the customer response. But when, you know, somebody says they heard about you from the internet, that's like somebody calling you on the phone in the old days and saying they saw you on the Yellow Pages, but that could have been 50 different things that created the interest in looking you up on the internet or going on the Yellow Pages or doing things. So tracking that, getting a little finer at how we do, finer resolution on how we track our marketing is really important.
Well, yeah, and I would add to that, Master Moody, that a lot of times that's kind of like somebody saying to me, you know, we're generating most of our new students through the telephone. Well, that doesn't tell you what got the telephone to ring. It just tells you that was the medium through which they communicate with you first. And unfortunately, most school owners don't realize that the web page is both an alternative to an info call, and it is a marketing source from a standpoint of SEO, pay-per-click, all of those pieces. So what you end up with is you end up with a combination of those two things, where you've got to really step back and say, is this somebody I generated online from positioning the web page properly? Is it somebody I generated from offline who went first to the website? And then is it somebody, you know, how's my conversion rate if I'm getting, we have a few people in the room. I don't know if they're on the phone, Mr. DeFano, if you're on the call, chip in, or hi, Nguyen, chip in. But we've got some members who are generating, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people to their website. And if we can get it to a 30% conversion or better rather than a 5 or 10% conversion, it makes a huge difference. But if you don't know what's going on, and if you don't know the different pieces of that funnel to get them there, you're lost. And even if you're doing pretty well, I mean, I've talked to school owners who are making $200,000 a year personally net, who really should be making $600,000. And, you know, Master Moody, you and I talked to a school owner recently who's, you know, they're grossing 600, but their net was, instead of being 300 or 400, was just a tick over 100, and didn't even realize that how much money they were leaving on the table. So those are very important. Robert, what were some of the other takeaways you and your dad have, either from your participation so far with Peak Performers or from the boot camp?
One thing I really enjoyed about the boot camp was the mentality that, and you hear it so often where people are like, oh, that doesn't work here, oh, that doesn't work here, oh, that doesn't work here. And talking to other school owners who were talking about the immense amounts of money that they were making through their schools while having students who were not that well off.
Mm-hmm.
So just getting into that mindset of we can make it happen. It doesn't need, we don't need clients with millions of dollars a month.
No, absolutely not. And you know, I gave the example of, you know, talking to people who are in, you know, Malibu and in Mission Viejo, California, and in New York and in Silicon Valley and, you know, and locations like that that truly are very high-end, whose excuse for charging a really small amount of money was, you know, was ludicrous. You know, they're too smart to pay that much or, you know, whatever. Or the cost of living is too high here. And the reality is, let's take it in the kids market. In the kids market, I've always had great success with, lower middle class Hispanic families who are convinced of the reality of what a dramatic positive impact we're going to have on their child, that they're willing to spend a huge percentage of their disposable income on making sure their child has a better life than they do. And, you know, whatever excuses you have, usually by sitting in a room like this, you figure out pretty quickly that, it's just an excuse for failure. It's not the reality of what your market looks like.
Yeah.
The degree and how we bore down into the marketing plan, the best case,
yep,
worst case, all the different aspects of, three emails a day, direct mail per month, events, all that kind of detail for a monthly plan. That was the biggest
thing. You bet. Yeah, all the specific action plans of what to do next, because so many times you go to something like this and you're left with a, now what do I do, right? And of course, we've had a wide variety of school owners already chipping in the call. You guys are some of our successful ATA school owners. And, of course, Trey is a big cross school. And so we had everything from, adult-oriented MMA and Krav to predominantly kids-oriented transport after school care. And Lauren, would you say that all across the board that what we covered was immediately actionable?
Absolutely. To all of us, not just to a specific segment. It was actionable to everybody who sat in that room. And the amount of courtesy and respect that was given to each and every one by yourself as well as between the participants was very, very not only enjoyable, but just very, it was just a...
We lost you mid-sentence there.
I just said it was a great experience all the way around.
Great.
I think from the other participants as well.
Good. From a standpoint of enhancing your own marketing plan, what were some immediate takeaways that are going to affect the rest of this month going into September and October?
We've already got an action plan for doing emails. We're putting together a lead list from within our school from all the birthday parties, the booths that we've done over the summer. We do birthday parties probably one or two a weekend. So we're creating a dedicated list from that, and they're going to be getting emails three times a week. We've got an educational offer as well as events coming up. The direct mail, we're going to be doing three pieces of this month and then ongoing. So we've taken, I don't think the one thing that we put in yours and when we submitted to you was best case, worst case.
Yep.
But in best case, worst case, okay, I can't remember. But those kind of things, those are the things that we've already started compiling the list. It'll be done by probably mid-next week, and then the emails will be starting in the next week, beginning of the back-to-school week up here.
Good.
you know, and hopefully I wasn't too much of a downer with the Captain Gloom, Murphy's Law persona and follow-up. You know, I, as I was talking about, I always take what I think the worst-case scenario would be and then cut that in half and then, you know, do enough stuff to if the worst-case scenario divided by half is enough to get my numbers, then I'm in good shape with the plan. And, of course, if everything goes best case, which never happens, but if everything goes best case, of course, you end up just drinking from a fire hose. And I think it's always better that than doing an adequate number of stuff to get your minimum or your expected numbers. Because unfortunately, I mean, if you've got a bunch of live events and suddenly you have floods and tornadoes or whatever it might be, or if you have school programs and suddenly you get blocked on some of that stuff, or and even things that historically are more reliable, like direct mail, there's all kinds of anomalies that can happen, and best laid plans don't work out well. I've had everything from went to the post office, the post office didn't mail it out for 3 weeks, to something going on in the news. I mean, we had massive direct mail campaigns back in, right after 2011 when people were afraid to open envelopes. I mean, so you've got to know there's all kinds of different iterations and why you can't have rose-colored glasses on. Now, you and your son have been running your school for a lot of years. When did your school first open?
Commercially, we first opened in 2004.
Oh, okay. Even if somebody who's been open for 10 years, and of course we had school owners, you know, like Master Smith, who are going on 40 plus, but there's an awful lot to learn and keep learning. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. My son and I are always looking at new books and always 4 or 5 books on the go, as well as always looking for the best coaching in the world, which led us to you.
Well, thank you, sir. I'll take that as a compliment, which I'm not sure there's any other way to take that. Fantastic. Any other feedback or takeaways, gentlemen, before we head on to somebody else who was there?
No, I was very happy to be there. I know my son and I, we talked, well, I think he mentioned it to you as one of the conversations that usually when we get into a session like that, 2 or 3 hours in, we're kind of zoning out and when's the next break type of thing, but that, for the full 2 days, that was never an issue. There was always something stimulating or an educational piece that was keeping our interest and challenging us to make notes or to talk back and forth to each other. Are we doing this? Can we do this better? What are we doing about this? That kind of thing.
Fantastic. And so let's get a couple more who are actually there and getting action plans. While you guys are keeping up, again, *6 unmute and or to mute, let me point out that we have quite a few people who've tuned in. I'm monitoring our little, web portal here. Quite a few people who tuned in since we started. Our next Peak Performer Inner Circle event is in West Point, or the United States Military Academy at West Point, more appropriately. It's October 17th, 18th, and 19th. The inner circle is going to be 17th, 18th, peak performers 18th, 19th. The middle day, we're going to be doing a complete behind the scenes at West Point. The hotel we're at is on the campus, on the property of West Point. You know, be sure you bring your ID because you've got to go through the checkpoint to get there. I don't know if we have Edgar on it. We had, I think our furthest attendee this time was from the Netherlands. Typically at these events, we'll have New Zealand, Australia. We've had various participants in the Middle East, Frankfurt, Germany, UK, etc. I want to make sure I point that out. For everybody on the call who is not currently a member, if you go to privatecoachingsession.com, you can learn more, and there's all kinds of free stuff there. There's 3 hours of free seminar video. There's 2 different free books. So privatecoachingsession.com, and I'm happy to get on the phone with you one-on-one to give you a little bit of a personalized focus of back-to-school marketing plan. Everybody who is in Peak Performers Inner Circle, other than Trey, everybody we've talked to is, and Trey, hopefully you are,
But everybody who is, I'm going to be sending you the aggregate of all the notes that have been compiled from the event. I'm going to be sending you the fall marketing plans aggregate that everybody has put together. I think you'll get some great ideas from both of those. A few of the people who were there had, I think Carol, I don't know if Carol's on the call, but Carol may have the record of, I think it's 40 or 50 pages of notes. But I'm going to aggregate those and send them out to everybody, and as organized a form as I get a chance to do here. The plan also is to transcribe the event, organize it a little bit. Obviously, we audio taped it and videotaped it. We'll have to see how the audio track came out on the video, but I'm sure the audio is pretty good. So we'll be making that available on everybody. And by the way, for all Inner Circle and Peak Performers, last year's marketing boot camp, which was more aggressively and comprehensively focused on internet marketing, is on your members' website. The one from 2 years ago, which was more focused even on putting together the marketing plan, good for adding 100 new students in 6 weeks, is available on the site and in all the recordings. And also the complete sales boot camp A to Z. And a few of the people that we talked to at the boot camp, the problem really isn't how to get more people coming in their funnel, how to get more leads or how to get more calls. The problem is how to close a higher percentage. So the complete A to Z marketing boot camp is also on the site. And a lot of our high-level people have used that as their staff training. So they put them on individual pieces of that complete A to Z sales training boot camp to get them completely up and running. It is certainly something that I recommend you do, especially if your ratios aren't where they need to be. And again, if we're not keeping the numbers that we ask you to keep, you know, you may think you don't have a problem when you do, or you may be trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist. So it's very important. So who else would like to jump in here that was at the event?
Master Oliver.
Yes.
This is Mrs. Minton. Master Minton's going to have to leave just a minute.
I just wanted to say that I thought the camp was very professional, and then like the first day I was impressed with the fact that we went ahead and reviewed some of the pillars of Make the Martial Arts School to accomplish things, and that was a stat. You talked about marketing for lead generations, then you followed up with the phone script so to get appointments, and you followed up again with also how to keep retention to building rapport with the students and building value to your program. And, of course, you talked about upgrades and how we add more value by doing that, with constantly helping our students. And so the first day was a lot of foundation things, like we also talked about income, how we can increase that so we can have a more professional school and have better training. And then the second day, you went ahead and had the groups get together and they actually worked as teams to go ahead and build these pillars up so we can have ways of getting our 100 students, trying to accomplish 100 students within our time span. And then the Inner Circle, I was also impressed with that, how people, you were working with the industry leaders, and these leaders were also open and sharing with each other. And that was it was just overall, and how I remember the fellow had the crowd problem, worked together and solved that for him and helped him accomplish his goals. Sorry, I can't stay. I'm here out of town training, and I got to leave right now, so I won't be late. But I really enjoyed the thing, and I was impressed with you and Master Smith and your knowledge of many years of being an expert in the field of marketing and in school building.
And Master Minton, your school has been there in Terre Haute for since when?
Well, I've been in martial arts 50 years. I started out as more like a club situation. 10 years I taught for free. Then I had a small school. Then I built a building and had a more of a professional school. And then now eventually I bought prime land and built a large facility and been in it for many years in various martial arts.
Fantastic. Hey, can we keep your wife for a few more minutes as you're having to jump out, or
is she up there? Yeah, she is right here.
There you go.
I'm sorry, Master Oliver. He was
he was trying to talk, but we weren't unmuted.
Oh, okay.
I thought, well,
okay.
I'll start six again, and then we got unmuted. He has to leave because he's at Protect Him.
I got to tell you, it's such a privilege to have somebody with 50 years under their belt, and frankly, I think Master Smith and I certainly appreciate somebody else who's been around long enough to understand the craziness and the unprofessionalism that permeated the industry at one time, and certainly that we're trying to eradicate by growing the top of the industry. You had some observations on Sunday. Let me get you to share. Having been around the industry forever, you've done basically everything there is to do from a standpoint of support and growth and so forth. What were your observations of what we were doing there and what the Inner Circle and Peak Performers look like relative to your other experiences?
Well, I think Master Mint and I are kind of known in the industry to always want to keep learning and improve ourselves. And whether it's in the ATA or outside of the ATA. And anybody will tell you, we go to a lot of seminars. We've been just in a lot of different learning situations, and I just think you walk your talk. Now, I'll say this. We need to walk your talk. You know, we need to, and I'll tell you, we've been, Master Moody did, I called you right after World Championships, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So I looked at the calendar a while ago. We probably have been a member for 6 weeks. I would say that's a fifth. Okay, in that 6 weeks, and we have done these things before, but we just needed somebody to kick us in the rear and say, you know what, you've got to do all of these things. In the 6 weeks, I just was typing a minute ago, we've re-implemented sending birthday cards out to our students. We're sending, a little boy was in the hospital this week, and my assistant said, you want to send him a get well card? Absolutely, we did that. We went to a tournament about 4 weeks ago. We sent everybody that participated in that tournament a congratulations card. Working on retention and attrition, which you know you should do, but it just falls through the cracks sometimes. Since we've been home, since we've been home from Colorado, we're in the final stages of implementing a feeder program at Ivy Tech Community College, and we'll be there until the middle of December, and then they'll come back to the academy and test. We're in a school open house. We've raised our prices. We were home one evening because we didn't fly back from Colorado until Monday, and so we worked Tuesday and Tuesday night. And Master Minton raised his basic price from, he raised it $50. He raised it the price of leadership. And he had two intros that night, Tuesday night, and he enrolled both of them. So, you've just got to get out there and do it. And we know that. But I think it's being with a group like you have put together that walk their talk and are big operators. It makes us want to do better. I don't know how else to say it.
No, that's great, and you gave us a great compliment on Sunday, and so jokingly said we didn't get on tape. Relatively, you know, we don't have to name names. Relative to some of the other big trade events and seminars and so forth, how would you rate what we're doing relative to non-ATA related support?
Sir. You're a product of the product. I forget exactly what I said Sunday, but you really don't need to go anyplace else. You you bring people to action. Now, a year from now, I want to have this conversation with you, and I want to tell you how much better we did in that year's time. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. You're going to be telling us about the $500,000 you added to your gross profit and how 420 of it was net.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
That's what we're targeting for you anyway, so we will stay
right,
focused on that objective for you.
You are a product of the product, because I do believe that you know what you're talking about. I just don't know what else to say.
I very much appreciate that, and I'm sure the growth trajectory is going to be unbelievable in the next few months and over the coming year.
You know, Master Oliver, sometimes, you know, you come home from an event or a seminar and you just sit on your, okay, well, we'll do this next week or whatever. I mean, this time we came home and just boom, 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 and we were only home a day, and we left again. But we'll be back home Sunday, and everything will be, you know, we'll be working again. Well, I'm going to work while I'm here.
I think Mrs. Min's making a good point, you know, and I think everybody coming back, we had a really good action plan for everybody. But anybody who didn't make the seminar needs to take some time, and I'm sure we'll talk about this a little later, especially when we get feedback from everybody on what they're going to do and what actions they're going to take and take action, because, you know, the people that are successful are the ones that take action. The people that aren't successful don't, and it's pretty simple. That's not rocket science or anything special. But I think she said the big difference was that she got back, she took action, and that's what we need to do.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, it, not to oversimplify anything, but, you know, in general terms, it's do more stuff and do it all more effectively. And we certainly see both issues that are there. Is an awful lot of people are, you know, running around doing activity without accomplishment. And oftentimes there's just one little piece of it that's missing to get the activity to turn into accomplishment. And the other thing that I see a lot is just, you know, doing 5 things where they need to do 10 things, or doing 10 things where they need to do 20 things to get deeper into their community and to more effectively promote their school and to more effectively really get a deep impact with the people that they're working with.
Master Moody, you said at the beginning of the conversation to do more things and to have more events, but to do them more efficiently, or to tweak, you know, maybe you didn't use the word tweak, but I think if we've been in the industry a long time, we've done a lot of different things, but sometimes people can become complacent, you have to keep doing those things.
Right, and I think that it's really important, you know. All the stuff that everybody who's been in the industry a long time knows all the different things you can do at events and different stuff, and they all work. They all really work. Some of them are going to, you know, they're all different, but they all work, and we need to know if we have a problem with one of them not working, and so just say, well, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to do birthday parties again. I'm not going to do open houses. I'm not going to do whatever, direct mail. We need to look and see how to make them better. And so, otherwise, number one, we don't get the results, but number two is it just gets depressing. I mean, nobody wants to do birthday parties and just sign up one member for birthday parties. Nobody wants to go do an after-school program and work your butt off to get, you know, teach 100 students and then get no members from it. So it's just psychologically for us, we have to get better results. And if you get good results, you won't mind doing birthday parties. You won't mind doing the after-school programs. You won't mind doing those different things that we know we should be doing.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and I think the other thing is sometimes we, you know, we're so busy getting people interested but not converting them, that we forget. Our focus really needs to be on continuing to educate the ones who have already raised their hand, as opposed to continually going out and trying to do, you know, completely cold prospecting out into the community. And that's something we spend a lot of time on, is talking about how to get deeper and more effective in your marketing with people who have shown some interest, as opposed to continue to throw it out with people, many of whom don't today and perhaps never will have any interest. So it's a very, very important concept to be focused on. Well, thank you so much, Mrs. Minton. It was so great to have your husband and his great depth of experience with us, for both of you at the event and, of course, on the call here and your busy schedule. Any last takeaways or action plans to share? And maybe we can give one other attendee's feedback in here before we start to run out of time.
This is Traverse City.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Chris Fine, Traverse City, Michigan.
Oh, fantastic. Welcome, Chris. So we've got yet another ATA school, so that's fantastic. Give us some of your feedback and takeaways.
Well, I always heard you talk about massive action, and now I have more a comprehension of what massive action is.
Right.
A lot of days I want to work, and I just can't figure out what to do, and, well, now that doesn't seem to be much of a problem. I got plenty I can be doing.
Yeah, that's right. If you were to put a round number on it and you have a number of different things you can do that you'll now have confidence at work, you probably came out with, what, 40 or 50 or 60 different things you could do if you were so inclined. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because my wife and I, we came up with a completely different list. So then we're compiling our list, and we have a lot of activities we're going to get started on.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me mention that, too. That was a really good master plan. You had you and your wife both there, and everybody that brought, we tried to separate everybody on purpose when we did our activities that were from the same school, and I think that's probably the case for everybody. You came up with different things, and that just adds more value to going to a seminar. So anybody that can bring staff or bring any other of their business partners into the seminar, I think makes it really valuable.
Oh, it absolutely does. And you know, you have two components of that. You have the natural human phenomenon of we all hear and evaluate and absorb content in that kind of environment based upon our own history, education, prejudices, worldview. And so the when you come with partner and staff, it becomes a much richer experience. And then secondarily, sharing the marketing plans and working in either in small group live at the event, but sharing the marketing plans and the notes that everybody had is, you know, I absolutely guarantee you're going to see two or three of the people's notes and you're going to say, were they at the same event I was? Because they had, you know, either more robust or completely different takeaways than you did. And that's why we want to, after any event like this, whether it's the event at West Point or this one, which, you know, by the way, was in such a spectacular setting, it was at times hard to concentrate because of the beauty we were surrounded with. And I got to tell you, West Point, it's very similar. We're right on the Hudson River, overlooking one of the most spectacular places in the Northeast. Mass applying from your perspective relative to everything else you've done, how would you rate the quality of the interaction with the key performers in our circle and the various people in the room?
Well, the interactions, it'd probably be a 9 or a 10. People were real outgoing, pleasant to talk to. Everybody shared their knowledge. It was really pleasant.
Fantastic. And of course,
it was nice talking from all different, you know, everybody who was at different school levels and, you know, different goals and things. It was real interesting.
And, of course, across a wide variety of different styles, different target audiences, different experiences from perhaps other than myself and Master Smith, although he may have a Steve Master Smith, Master Minton's years of experience in the industry. Master Smith, are you unmuted? Are you still live on the call? You're still with us.
Yeah, I'm still here.
That's Smith. What year did you start in martial arts?
64.
64, and Master Minton said 50 years, which would be 64 as well, I believe. And I'm a relative newbie. I didn't start till I was in 1969. Of course, I started a lot younger than some of you guys, so I've always got to throw that one in. Matt Smith, some wrap up here from if you were going to give an encapsulation of advice of what to do for back to school marketing to make sure that you fill your school up, what would be a little summary for everybody in the call?
The summary from the weekend, or just summary in general?
In general, if you were going to look at a marketing plan to just rapidly accelerate the number of new students you're getting, what would be a couple pieces of advice?
Well, you got a pen?
Yes.
That's the thing, and I think the thing that everybody took away from the marketing boot camp is what you have to do is you have to sit down with pen and paper and actually go through and write down not just your marketing plans, but the date of the implementation. And I think that's the biggest mistake people make. When I talk to a lot of the schools and I ask them, what's your marketing plan? And they start telling me, and then I said, okay, well, when are you going to do that? And then they say, well, in the next 3 months. And I said, well, when are you going to do what? On what date? And then that they didn't put in the plan. So you actually have to put it into your day timer and actually plan it out on a daily basis, just like you would your schedule of classes. You'd have to also schedule out how you're going to do your marketing. You have a good estimation of the time frame for each one of the marketing ideas that you have, whether it's a birthday party or a school program or a movie theater. And you got to block out that time onto your schedule, put it in your day timer, send yourself a reminder. And then after you put it all in the calendar, you have to look across the calendar and say, am I doing enough each day to get the kind of results I need? And then, of course, the only way to know that answer is to make sure you're keeping good stats. So you can then start analyzing your stats. So for your second quarter, you can start making adjustments to your marketing to fit the goals that you have set for the school. But every time you get to a quarter, and so you get up to a year of stats, you have a real good, accurate measure of where the school is. Then when you set goals for increasing 10 to 20% of your business for the following year, you have more accurate goals to shoot for. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing that gets missed a lot is two things that you said there. One is it's okay to have a list of 82 things as long as you know the two things you're going to do today, right? And what date you've got a deadline for yourself to implement each of the rest of them. And the thing that you and I, Master Moody, when we're working individually with people, I think the biggest gift we bring to them is to hone the 82 point to-do list into the two or three action items immediately and to put it into a timeline. And the other thing I think in there that they've got to make sure they take away is if you're not doing something every day, the minute you wake up, you get the blank legal pad. Of course, I like Starbucks, so you're sitting at Starbucks with a blank legal pad saying, what is it I'm going to get done today? What am I going to get done in the next 72 hours? What am I going to get done in the next 7 days to ensure I keep the flow of new students up in the school? In other words, marketing activities. And what am I going to do to improve the level of service that I'm giving to them and to improve the retention? And last, as we know, that what am I going to do to improve my overall income per student? In other words, a combination of pricing and upgrades and retention to make sure that I'm constantly getting improvement there as well. If you're not focusing on that every day, nothing happens. And like you said, we see a lot of first flush marketing plans with 10 or 20 different things, but no deadlines. And of course, we know, you know, if you have a deadline for this week, it's a lot more likely to happen than if you have a deadline for 6 months from now. And with no deadlines, it's easy for, you know, for your other things that are urgent but not particularly important to get in the way.
Yeah, and I would follow up with that when you're doing your marketing, and for everybody, we talked about the Big Rock that people can look up if they want, but to make sure that you have, when you have that dedicated time for marketing, to not multitask. You know, multitasking isn't always a good thing, and to stay focused
almost always
that
bad
don't,
thing.
Yeah, right, and people talk about that all the time like it's an advanced way of working, but it really is very inefficient. And what happens at the end of the week, you know, you say, I had all these ideas and I had these deadlines, but I didn't get anything done. A lot of times that's because we don't, you know, other things interfere, and urgent things interfere, as you said, and you can't allow that. You got to have dedicated kind of marketing, because marketing is always super important, but it's usually not, there's nobody forcing you to do it other than us when we call you and talk to you on the phone.
Yeah. Urging, cajoling, embarrassing, yelling, whatever it takes to make sure you're hitting the kind of improvement in numbers that that you're hoping for and that we've promised. That's exactly right. Well, fantastic. You know, we've got to wrap here pretty quickly. What I would remind all of the participants is I'd love to have your notes so we can share those with everybody. I'd love to have your marketing plan so we can share that, again, with all the Inner Circle Peak Performers. Anybody who is on the call who is not in Inner Circle or Peak Performers, I think you've heard some pretty good feedback from those who are. I would love to give you a bunch of free stuff, a free copy of my book, another book, about 3 hours of seminar excerpts, and also for us to get together individually and just give you a little bit of ideas. Again, you know, no obligation for moving forward. Everybody who is currently Inner Circle Peak Performers, again, I hope you have the West Point dates in ink on your calendar. We'll give you more details in the next few days to make sure that we're all booked ahead of time and good to go. For all of us, we have set follow-up individual one-on-one times and so forth. If you need additional support from myself, Master Moody, or Master Smith, let me know right away, and we can certainly schedule an additional bonus call in August if that would be something necessary or useful to fully bring all of it to the action plan. And Master Moody, certainly if Inner Circle Peak Performer members want, we could do another follow-up focus call next week. Everybody give me feedback on that, and if that would be helpful, we can do it. What I really want to do is share those marketing plans and notes with everybody, and then you can both take the action plan you've already developed and enhance it with that of the mastermind group and really be effective. Again, you can't ever underestimate Master Moody. You talked about that quite a bit, Master Smith, and certainly all of our everybody who gave us feedback. You can't underestimate the power of getting a bunch of sharp, successful people in the room and sharing your ideas with them, getting their feedback and their tune and tweaks on your ideas, and at the same time, having the ability to bounce your ideas off of them and get immediate feedback. You can never discount that. And you also can't discount the level of depth that we spend looking outside of the martial arts industry, looking at other very successful organizations, whether it be something like Disney or West Point or Air Force or the Olympic Training Center or Visible Changes at our last trip to Houston. Looking at other successful companies and figuring out what our industry, what other school operators have missed. And of course, if you just look around at the general martial arts industry, what you're seeing is lots of great examples of mediocrity, not examples of excellence, which is why we really screen and put the very top people in the industry in the same room and have them share their successes and frankly their failures and frustrations as well. Before we run out of time, is there anybody else who is at the event who would like to chip in or have anybody who has any specific questions for we've got maybe 4 minutes before we run out of time here.
Pete Johnson from San Francisco, California.
Hey, Pete. Always glad to have you at everything. What are some of your observations?
I've got to give some thank yous right away because Master Smith shared just a little bit of scripting on a closing that helped me with a student. It was the, well, what is it? Is it the monthly payment or is it the down payment? And I implemented that on a Monday night closing, and it led to an enrollment that I may have lost otherwise.
Yep.
The second thank you is Saturday night, I actually implemented the amazing mail, and I sent out just a couple of teeter-tottering students that were on the verge of renewing or not. I renewed two of them last night, but just between the two renewals last night and the enrollment on Monday, it was just, the weekend was worthwhile just for those three little tidbits. And I thought that you had mentioned the beginning of the call, it was that 5% that made the biggest difference, and that little mechanic really for me were, you know, kind of groundbreaking. So I just want to say thank you for those, and those were really helpful just straight away.
Well, I appreciate that. So it sounds like you generated $20,000-$25,000 in revenue just from those couple little subtleties. Is that about right?
With the two renewals, 26, plus the brand new student, 28, and my cost out of pocket was literally sending, you know, 25 postcards. You could do this at $1.60, whatever a piece. So it was so well worth it. The mechanic was great.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. That's pretty good return on investment there. I'm not going to try to calculate in my head what kind of return on investment that was, but that was
right.
You know, a lot of zeros behind that. That's good. If you've been around a while, how do you rate the this particular event and on an ongoing basis the value of your participation on an ongoing basis with what we're doing?
You know what? There's a commonality of experience that I'm getting with all the events, not just the marketing ones. Although sometimes I walk to the marketing events and I'm thinking, okay, I got to bring up my numbers, which is obviously the case. However, I always walk away with the reminder of how important it is to increase the value of the program, and that has never been it's never been understated. It's never been pushed to the back burner. I always feel like the marketing is the extension of increasing the value of the program. So that would be my one thing. I think that's great. I have a dramatically more valuable program. The impact that I leave in the community and the families that I serve and the people that I train, it's just so much greater, you know, after a couple of years of working with you in the Peak Performers Group. I'm grateful, you know, and I appreciate adding all the little 5% tweaks that help make it more effective. But at the end of the day, I really love the fact that my program, the value is increasing and on the rise. I'm a better martial artist, I'm a better instructor, and I'm working my way to being a better business owner too, and that's great from my standpoint.
That's great. Thank you very much. You know, and it's a misconception among, you know, the vast majority of school owners who may think of, you know, we're trying to teach people slick salesmanship or, you know, or just marketing hype. The reality is if you're going to be in an area for 20, 30, 40 years, and if you're going to be, you know, high six-figure income, it's about the service and the quality you bring to your students. It's about being a positive contribution to your arts and your lineage and to everything you're doing. And at the same time, it's about having a dramatic positive ripple effect on an ongoing basis throughout your community. And it's certainly true that in the short term you can have marketing hype or slick salesmanship and do quite a lot of revenue in the short term, but the reality is in the long term is people figure you out, find you out, and it's a problem. And we've seen a lot of those kind of quick buck artists come and go in the industry and quick buck artists training other people, sadly, and in things that had suspect ethics behind it. But I think that you certainly are, and Master Minton is, and you go back to everybody who's contributed here, are both a credit to our art and our industry, but most importantly are highly focused on providing the best possible service for our students, and then to make sure we're getting properly compensated for it, so that our income levels from that and the quality of the school that we're able to provide has those resources. So,
you know, Master Oliver, I know we're running low on time here, and I haven't been speaking, you know me, I like to, but I've been working while we've been on the phone, and one of the biggest takeaways from all of them, okay, is the rejuvenation of emotion. And sad to say, as a martial arts instructor, that you need it. But we're all human beings, and I came alone this time. Usually, I love to bring staff. And while I was on this phone call, I typed out 12 emails to invite to this Black Belt Leadership Mentorship Program that I have to my one studio. My daughter worked on drip emails for our website. She's doing in the sets of we're probably into the 6-month spaces now. Also set up a demonstration, a participation, children's day at the mall. Okay, now that all took place in the hour and a half we've been on this phone call. Okay, so you know, it really, really gets you cranked up and fired up.
Well, thank you very much, sir. And you've been a long time loyal supporter, and I always appreciate your enthusiasm, and especially the continued growth in your school and in your students.
Well, it's appreciated, because every time, you know, we all come back and we all grow a little bit, and sometimes we go to that stagnation point again. We need a little boot in the butt, like our students do, and quite frankly, somebody that wants to progress and prosper doesn't mind the boot in the butt, because that's the way we start the martial arts, the same thing. We need those instructors to give us a whack and get going, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you need a small group environment where you can get feedback, and you can see other people's struggles and other people's successes. And you also need a teacher who can, you know, whether it's appropriate, you know, pat you on the back and give you a pep talk through a swift kick in the ass, whatever it might be. But if you don't have that, and so many times, you know, what I think you and a few others, certainly Al is one of them, have laughed about is the fact that within our environment there's no such thing as sugarcoating it.
Right.
It tends to be, you know, brutal and honest feedback.
That's both.
But go ahead, speak to that.
No, well, actually, I love it that way, because I'd rather no one pulling punches and you know, as you said, sugarcoating something. If it doesn't work or something's going astray, I like when you cut us off in our tracks and say, no, let's do it this way. This will be much more proficient and efficient, okay? And I love it. We're not wasting time, okay? And the other thing, you know, I've been coming to a lot of them, and of course we repeat ourselves, but that's a good thing, because like our martial arts training, we now defined our techniques, and I'm coming back with this one here with again 2 pages full of notes that I didn't get to yet, but I'm actually starting to my list right now, and I'm going to hone. And as I told my manager, you know, it's not much change this time. This is much more fine-tuning. This is what this is about, more fine-tuning. So, you know, it's different levels is what it is.
You bet. Well, I told the story many times of being asked myself. I was attending an event and outside of martial arts, but I was asked, whether I had learned an awful lot of new things. I said no, but I certainly have learned a lot of things that I wasn't doing, reminded of a lot of things that I wasn't doing. And there's almost always a huge gap in our knowledge base and where we're actually implementing, where the rubber meets the road. And I think that's the thing that we're doing better than anybody else is closing that gap of continuing to expand the knowledge, but continuing to narrow the gap between knowledge and frontline implementation and get really where we're implementing at the highest level of the front line. So I think that's a very, very, very essential in order to get your numbers up and your quality up. Well, I think on that note, it's a great way to end, but we got to wrap up. We're a minute or two over our schedule here. We had a great participation. For anybody who didn't get a chance to contribute, if you would like to, I'm happy for us to set a follow-up next week and do this again. For everybody who is an Inner Circle Peak Performers member, share with me your notes. Share with me your marketing plan. If there's anything you don't want shared with the rest of the group, let me know, and we certainly won't. But otherwise, I want to compile those and share it with everyone. And again, we have our follow-up meeting or our next Inner Circle Peak Performer Mastermind Behind the Scenes High-Level Leadership at the United States Military Academy at West Point, and I think that's an extremely useful and valuable one to be at. So make sure you have that on your calendar. And thanks, everybody contributed, and thanks as always to Grandmaster Smith and Master Moody, and
you know, from the facilitators in the room, I think we had over 100 years experience in operating martial arts schools, probably well over, and from the participants, it's into the thousands of years, and just with the three facilitators, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, probably over $100 million anyway in revenue directly from our efforts. So it's not like it's an inexperienced or a theoretical crowd. It's one that's been there, done that, and in the field implementing. So again, thank you for everybody for your participation. We'll ring off for today and look forward to speaking with you on an individual basis as well as on a group basis in the near term. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much.